Psalms 145 and verse 8. So we're talking about the goodness of the Lord this morning. You remember when we were little and you'd raise your hand to say the blessing, and you might would say it like this: God is great, God is good. Remember that? Let us thank him for our food, something along those lines. Well, chances are I can't speak for you, but I know when I said it, I wasn't really thinking about the goodness of our Lord. I was thinking about the fancy corn dog or whatever I was about to partake of, you know. And then you got the thing that goes on in the churches nowadays. It happens around here from time to time, where someone will say, God is good. All the time, and then you know the deal. I have some sort of mental block. I cannot do that thing. I always mess it up. It's not that I don't like it. I just have some sort of deal where I cannot finish that. You want to try it together, though, since we're all here? We can work on it together. Okay, I'm going to start it, though, okay? God is good. All the time. God. Okay, so, all right. See, I'm getting there. But, I mean, that's it, right? God is good. I listen to my sermons, and it's not a prideful thing. I don't feel like it's a prideful thing, but I go back and I listen to my sermons, and I kind of critique them and cringe and stuff like that. But there's a couple things that are going to happen every week, pretty much, without a doubt. I'm going to say, do you know what I'm saying? I say that a lot. I never even remember saying it when I say it, but I say it so much when I go back and listen, I'm like, wow, man. And then I also say, when there's a pause or something, I'll say, well, God is good. And that's true, man. All the time, God is good. I need a cue card for that. But anyways, he's still working on me. But God is so good, isn't he? Sometimes... Y'all just want to take a break? Get James and Rachel to sing some songs. Something. Okay. I'll probably say that a lot today. God is good. That thing. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say, is if I say it, don't say that no more, because that's, you're throwing me off, man, you know. I'm trying to get in my groove here, and I ain't got it yet. So right now we're building this, we're setting this thing up, Kayla, and I don't know if we're taking off, but we're working on it. God is good. Okay. Sega. All right. Oh, my gosh, what was I about to say, man? Did y'all turn to Psalms? Okay. All right. Psalms 145. Yes. Sometimes we lose track of the fact that God is good. Sometimes we can even begin to doubt the fact that God is good. And it is so important. Now listen to this part. It is so important for our faith to grow. We have to come to the place where we truly got it in our hearts that God is good. You know what I mean? That I'm not going to doubt him. If things don't look like they're going to work out the way I think they should happen, I know in my heart that God is still good, and he's going to do what's best for me. Therefore, my trust, my faith, my relationship is going to be able to blossom as opposed to stagnate or go the other way. We got to get to that place where God is good. Don't say it. All right? Okay, so it's all right to have fun, right? So anyways, here's a definition for you nice people out here. This is the goodness of God, a perfection of his character which he exercises toward his creatures, that's us, according to their various circumstances and relations. So we can say it like God does what's right for his kids because he's good. Amen? Even if it doesn't look like it's what you want, God is so good that he's going to do what's right for you. Amen. So anyways, we're here at Psalms 145 and verse 8. Now we're really kicking it into high gear. So I hope you're there. I don't know if you can get the buzzing out of the monitor. I don't know if anyone else can hear it. It's throwing me off just a bit, but we'll keep rolling either way. I just wanted to say that. Psalms 145 and verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Isn't that good? So God is good, right? Now let's dissect this. The Lord is gracious. That is so cool right there. He is gracious, meaning he gives me things, good things, that I don't necessarily deserve. You know what I mean? He gives me good, like the spoiled rotten kid that doesn't deserve the fancy nice birthday party, but you go ahead and do it anyways. Kind of, sort of, not really. No, because God's a perfect, a little bit, but God's a perfect father. But he still wants to shower us with good things that we haven't earned. Does that make a little more sense right there? He is such a good God that he is also not only full of grace, and we can look at grace as kind of like that bucket, not the bucket of everything you've ever wanted in your life, but everything that you need is right there for you. He's got it already set aside before you were ever created, before you ever thought of. He's got what you need to get you through this journey that he's got you on, right? We all know it's God's unmerited favor, okay? But it's also, we can look at it like this. It's what God has everything you need. That's how good he is, amen? Okay, and then it says he is merciful. I like that merciful too, because that's where God doesn't give you what you deserve. You know what I mean? Think about that forgiveness. You know what I mean? That we hold back so often. You know, God is gracious and has good things for us, and he is so full of mercy. So I hope that we're coming to the place today where we will know without a shadow of a doubt that no matter what happens this week, I'm going to know that God is good. It's going to be just like breathing air. Hey, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know that my God is good because he is so full of grace. He is so full of mercy. Amen? And he is slow to anger. Everybody raise your hand if you're glad he's slow to anger. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That he is so patient with us. That he is slow to anger. That he's taking his time. Amen? And I really love this part. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Abounding in steadfast love. So we're getting a nice little picture this morning of the goodness of God. So abounding, it's like overflowing. If God's love was a river, and I think that's going to be the name of my country album. If God's love was a river. Is that a song? Okay, well, whatever. Well, I'm still doing it. Maybe not. Okay, but anyways, if God's love was a river, it would be overflowing. Overflowing, okay, with his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his patience. Amen? His steadfast love. So that river, overflowing, is not going to deviate off course, and it's not going to dry up, ever. Amen? Okay, so we can go home now because I pretty much said what I had to say. God is good. Now we'll fill the next 45 to 50 minutes with the song we're going to work on together, If God's Love Was a River. Anyways, no, let's keep going. Okay, verse 9 is really good. Psalms 145 and verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Everyone say, that is cool. That is cool because the Lord is good to us all. You know what I mean? The scripture says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The unsaved, God is being merciful. We know that. And he gives air to them. He gives a harvest to them, just like he does to me and you. He wishes none would perish. Amen. Isn't that good? Because it was really, really good before we were washed in the blood of the Lamb that he was so gracious and so merciful and so good to us all, right? So let's not lose track of that, because we all have unbelieving relatives, I'm sure, unbelieving friends, unbelieving co-workers. And, you know, God is good to them whether they realize it or not. God is still being good to the unbeliever. He's good to us all. Amen? Are y'all with me so far? Amen. You know what I'm saying? Okay, and his mercy. And his mercy is over all that he has made. So like I spent like 2 hours just chewing up those two little verses right there. And there's just so much into it. But his mercy is over all that he has made. Think about this, man. That this planet, he keeps it right where it needs to be. You know what I mean? Everything is orchestrated beautifully. Without God's mercy, without God's goodness, without his grace, without him being good to us all, we would all fall into the pits of hell right now. You know what I mean? Without those good things that God has for us, this planet would hurtle into the sun or something catastrophic or smart scientific could happen. You know what I mean? Smart people, you know what I'm talking about? Scientists can't figure out why atoms stick together and stuff like that. Well, God says he holds it together. He's holding everything together, man. That's how good he is. He's holding this whole thing together. He's a good God. Amen. So that's all I'm trying to say is he's good. He's a good God. God is good. You can say it. Oh, all the time. Yeah. I got to work on that. Okay, so seriously, let's go to the next slide. God is so good. Now let's look real fast or real leisurely, depending on how you behave, we'll dictate that. I'm playing. Let's look at his sacrifice. And we're going to see that God is so good. Amen? John 3:16. Okay. For God so loved the world. You guys know this verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God is so good that he loves this whole world. Okay, and rest assured, he's not talking about the sphere hanging in the heavens. He's not talking about earth. He could make another one of those before breakfast. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm sure he everything he created is good. We know that. But what he's talking about, raise your hand if he knows what he's talking about this morning. For God so loved the world. Amen. We got some smart folks in here, about four of them. Oh, man, y'all don't get mad at me. He's talking about us. He's talking about humanity. As sinful and as nasty as we are. And keep in mind, I'm not talking simply about the guy beside you, okay? And I'm not talking just about myself. But he knows your innermost secrets. He knows what your mind goes to. You know what I mean? That's scary, right? And all God's people said, that's pretty scary. Yeah, it is. He still loves us, and he still made a way for us to be saved because we've all broken his law. We've all broken it. And people, we've all talked to those people that are like, well, I can't serve a God, or how can you go to church and listen to a preacher that sticks up for a God that sends people to hell? God doesn't send no one to hell. We send ourselves to hell. We're the ones that broke his law. And we're the ones that decide, because we all will have to make that decision sooner or later. There will be a time when you decide, no, I'm not going to believe that. When God says, you're just suppressing the truth. You're suppressing the truth. Okay, we've all had that measure of faith given to us where we can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know what I mean? So you have to deny him to deny him. You know what I mean? That makes sense? You can quote me on that. You have to deny him to deny him. Anyways. But he loved us so much that he made a way for us to be saved. You know what I mean? Not only did he make a way for us to be saved, but he paid for that way for us to be saved by his own blood. Amen. I know we're sleepy. I know we're sleepy and I know we're tired, but this is really, really important stuff right here. I know this isn't like aha moment type sermon stuff, okay? I don't know if I do that kind of sermon, okay? I do like that song from the 80s, aha. But anyways, this is so important that we never stray too far from what has been done for us, that we don't stray from what's been done for us. You know what I mean? And then we shan't lose the fact that God is so good. Amen. It doesn't matter if anything else goes your way all day. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if there's feed for the cattle. It doesn't matter if there's cattle in the stall. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter. Jesus Christ died on a cross so we could be saved. Amen? Okay, all right. So Philippians 2, we're going to start at verse 6. Okay, let's go into a little more detail. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Okay, so if you were raised in a cult or some false religion, or you ever wondered, was Jesus Christ really God? Jesus Christ is absolutely, positively 100% God. 100% God and 100% man. And he paid for my sins. Can I get a witness? Okay. Says it right here. Okay. Because cults like to chew stuff like this up, you know, and say, well, if he's the only begotten son, well, then he's the created being. No, 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 no. No, you need to read your Bible. He created everything. Jesus Christ created everything. It's in the Bible, okay? I'm not making that up. I'm not lying to you right now. We're in church. Okay, who though he was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but this is what he did for you. Remember, he created everything, all right? He created us, and he said it was good, okay? But he also did this, but made himself, this is God, made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He came down here and showed us how to live a godly life. He showed us how to live a God-pleasing life. He showed us how to be a servant. Remember when the disciples in the Last Supper, you know, they were fighting about who's the greatest and all that jazz. We talked about that before. Jesus Christ washed their feet. Even the one that was about to betray him, he washed their feet. He showed us the right way. That's a picture of God's goodness right there. Amen? We need to keep that in mind. Okay, being born in the likeness of men. So he was born in a barn. We know that, right? We'll start talking about that in a couple months. We'll get excited. The kids will want everything in the mall, you know. But he was born in a barn, you know, not in a palace. Okay, he didn't have the disciples fanning him with big old banana leaves or whatever they had over there, and they weren't feeding him grapes. He wasn't like, I'm a king of kings and lord of lords. He came as a man and showed us the right way to live. Amen? And he died on a cross for me and for you. Amen? And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Okay, so he walked in human flesh. Amen? And he died for my sins, but not just some quick. There's some easier ways to die than others. Or let me say it like this. There's, if you had to pick your way to die, there's some ways you would pick before you would pick being murdered on a cross. I guarantee you that. You know what I mean? Raise your hands if you're for Pastor Paul dying in his sleep one night. A long time from now if you want. Well, it doesn't matter. But, you know, that's what I want to do. You know, maybe you just go to bed, kiss everybody. You know, I love you. See you later. You know, he was a good man. You know, something was wrong with him. He wasn't all there. But you know what, man? Okay, obviously we don't get to make that kind of decision. But that's what I'm praying for. You know, I'd like to go out that way. Or maybe in like saving a bunch of kids out of a burning house. You know what my pastor did? He was driving down the road and this house of orphans was burning. And he ran in there and got to the top and was throwing kids out on the fireman trampoline thing. And he slipped and fell. That was a good man. Okay. No, none of us are good. Without the Holy Spirit indwelling us, there's nothing good about you. That's just how it is. Jesus Christ said that himself. You know, there's no one good but God. You know, well, I'm a good person. No, you're not. Not without Jesus. You know, your heart is very deceitful, just like mine. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? Okay, so what are we talking? Okay, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what he did for us, the most humiliating, agonizing way to die. That's what he did for me and you. So at the end of the day, no matter how many flat tires you get, no matter how many people are mean to you, and listen, no matter how bad your body hurts and stuff like that, okay, let's get real, you know, And God cares about all those things. He really cares about those things. But what we need to hold on to and never forget, man, that Jesus Christ, God himself, died for you so you can be saved. Okay, is that good news? Okay, all right. Tell the truth, God is good. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. All right, thank you, Jesus. Is everyone okay? Exodus 34, y'all turn to it real fast if you got a King James. Exodus 34 and verse 6. Are y'all nervous? Everybody nervous? I'm moving my preaching bag up here because I don't know who's going to be digging in it. Yeah, Sister Claudia got her wallet stolen out of her purse in church one time here. It was a long time ago, but the person who did it's in here right now. It's been a long time. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. I'm playing. Yeah, I make Sister Claudia so nervous. And I don't mean to. I don't mean to. Okay. God had a lot of other people he could have picked before he put the microphone in my hand. But anyways, Brother Merrill loves me. Okay. Exodus 34. Okay. This is how the Lord reveals himself to Moses and to the children of Israel. This is not the first time he reveals himself to Moses or the children of Israel. But God is continuing to reveal his goodness and who he is to Moses. Okay, so let's read this right here, 34 and verse 6 out of King James. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, listen, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Sound like what David wrote, right? Sound like what we just read. Same God. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He is so good. He's so merciful. He's so gracious. He is so good. He is forgiving the nation of Israel, the children of Israel. Right here, what's going on is Moses just broke the first set of commandments. He walked down and, okay, well, let me back up a little bit. Moses was hanging out with the Lord. It only makes sense that he was gone a little longer than expected. I mean, no one got more face-to-face time, if I can use that phrase, with the Lord God than Moses did. And he was enjoying it and soaking it up. And, hey, time gets away when you're having fun like that, right? Okay, so he has the Ten Commandments. And so, meanwhile, down at the base of the mountain, the Israelites get caught up in some craziness, some adultery, worshiping some little golden calves and stuff. I mean, think about what all God has just done for these people, right? Delivered them, the plagues, the pillar of fire, all this stuff. Gives them everything they need. And Moses disappears for a few days, like, oh, well, that was real. That was, wow, we need something to worship, you know? So Aaron is scared to death. So Aaron should have been a man about it, but, you know, whatever. I can't judge the dude. I wasn't there. But he makes the golden calves, and these people are worshiping it. And not only that, but they're doing some pretty heinous, crazy stuff, man, worshiping these golden calves. You know, so Moses comes down. He's like, okay, I got the Ten Commandments. Whoa! You know, freaks out because of what these guys are doing. I'll just say it like this. They were kind of caught with their pants down, you know? For reals, man, you know? Joshua was coming down with Moses, and he's like, I hear fighting. There's a war battle going on. He's like, that ain't no battle, brother. And if you don't know what that sound is, I ain't telling you. No, it's not what it says, but it's in there. It says in a different way. But they were partying. They were going crazy. A lot of bad stuff was happening. So anyways, God doesn't destroy them. Raise your hand if you would have destroyed them. Y'all need to tell the truth in church. You know you'd at least melt some people's faces off. I mean, okay. But before we get on to the nation of Israel, these guys, we do the same thing, don't we? Don't we, honestly? As soon as it looks like God's not going to do exactly what I want him to do, we start to drift away. We start to do things in our own power. We start to start chasing idols and different things like that. I'm just going to do it myself. You know what I mean? And we get in so much trouble. We get off track. We hurt ourselves. We hurt those around us. And God is going to forgive these people. And that's a picture of God's love. That's a picture of God's goodness, because he does it for us too. Amen? And you're really going to see this exemplified when Jesus Christ comes on the scene. Amen? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Okay, so, and the Lord passed by before him. Is everyone fine? Is everyone okay? Anybody mad? Okay. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Is he not long-suffering? Think about, he puts up with all our nagging and complaining by our mates. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. See, I'm going to get in trouble for that one. But he puts up with all our nagging and complaining and griping when things don't go our way, doesn't he? He's so merciful. Yeah. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Okay. Now, he's also abundant in goodness, but he's also abundant in that truth. He's overflowing in that truth, so he's not going to hold nothing back. You know what I mean? So he's like, yeah, I know what you guys did. We're going to work on that. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that's what he does. And that by no means, now listen to this, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Okay, so what does that mean? Okay, when I repent of my sins, he's quick to forgive. He's ready to forgive. But don't think that God will be mocked. Okay, don't think that you can go do anything you want to do. Amen. Because he is full of truth, abounding in truth, and he tells us in his scriptures, God is not mocked. Okay? So we all need to come to that place where we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? But we also need to understand that when I go around doing things he tells me not to do, there'll be consequences for that. I'm not saying you're not saved. Like I said, I'm not saying that at all. Okay, but if we choose to sin, we choose the consequence that comes with that. And it's not like God's waiting to throw a lightning bolt down on you. The consequence is bound up in the action. It's a package deal. If you're going to do this, this is going to happen to you. Amen? You know what I'm saying? And he doesn't hold any of that back. That's also a picture of his goodness. I love you so much. Life and death is here. This is the world you live in. I created you free will agents, okay? I want you to love me because you love me, amen? I could make you robots, but I'll get no pleasure, no joy out of that. And think about it. Would you? Would you get pleasure and joy out of making your kids love you? You're going to love me. Snap into a Slim Jim. Huh. You would get no joy out of that. But God, that's a sign of his goodness too, picture of his goodness. He gives us free will, but he says, hey, there'll be consequences if you deviate from these rules and these laws. I love you. I do not want you to experience pain, but I don't want you to have to go through this, okay? God will let you go through some pain for your own good. Amen. Does that make sense? Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Man, so he's being real truthful right there, isn't he? When you choose to sin, it does not just simply affect you, because we lie to ourselves a lot and say, well, this is, you know, no one's going to know about this. This isn't going to hurt anybody but me if it hurts anybody at all. No, this affects everybody around you, and it goes on down the line. Amen? But see, once we accept Christ, we can break those generational curses off of us. Amen? Did y'all know that? But think about it when you've known people that say, Grandpapa struggled with a little alcohol abuse, never put it in check, never dealt with it, never gave it to the Lord. This is just my cross to bear, you know, whatever. And then Daddy had that problem, and now you're struggling with it. Does that make sense? Okay, I think you got it. Let's go to the next slide. No, actually, go back to that one. I forgot about that. Okay, so God is good, right? You can say it if you want to. All the time. God, am I supposed to say all the time God is good or just all the time? Okay. We'll work on that later. But he is good, right? Okay, so everything he made is good. Did y'all know that? And spiders? Spiders have a job to do. I don't like spiders. There was a dude that went to this church that one day, I'm usually the last person to leave. Those of you that have ever ridden with me know that and love that fact. I'm pretty much always the last person to leave. One day I'm getting in the car and there's this dude that came here for a while. And he had all his seats taken out of his car. Like unbolted and strewed about. I was like, dude, is everything cool? What are you doing? He's like, there's a spider in my car. I was like, are you serious? Are you serious? You took out your seats? I was like, it's on your forehead, dude. And, dude is like deathly afraid. Still to this day, he's afraid of spiders. I don't, either way, I could take him or leave him. Okay, anyways, what are we talking about? God is good. Everything he makes is good. The word good is consistent. Let me read this. Okay, I wrote this down, so it must be important. The word good is the consistent description. Oh, this is good. The word good is the consistent description in the Word of God for the actions and nature of our Lord. And that's true. You see it over and over again. Look at Genesis, man. It was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. And then there was this one, Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he made, that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God don't make junk. And he made everything awesome. Even the spiders, Brother Robert, were awesome. But then there was that little thing, that little sin problem, right? So things got distorted a bit, right? Where spiders bite you instead of cuddling up with you. They bite you and hurt you and all that sort of jazz. And the snakes don't want to be used as pillows anymore, but they want to wrap around your throat or bite your face. Stuff like so things kind of got messed up a little bit. Everyone say, thanks, Adam and Eve. Yeah, but you would have done it, right? We if it got to us, we would have done it. You know, eventually somebody would have dropped the ball. Okay. We know this. But see, look, I am blown away by God's nature the way I have been able to behold it. You know, I know that the Garden of Eden and all that, man, it must have been amazing. I mean, it must have been something. That sounded like I was in a 40s movie. It was something. It was swell, Kayla. But it must have been amazing because when I look at the mountains, you know, that we see, the Grand Canyon, what's that big waterfall? Niagara Falls. Isn't that amazing? That's what God doesn't make junk. I mean, that is awesome. And this is after the fall. You know what I mean? Everything is so awesome, and everything that he makes points to the fact that he is a good God and a creating God and a loving God and a forgiving God. Amen? So God doesn't make junk. So what about you? Are you junk? Because he don't make junk. Okay. Okay, so I wrote that down somewhere. Oh, yeah, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Everything God makes is good. That doesn't mean we do good things, but we are not junk. Okay, well, I think this verse explains it pretty good, talking about the Christian. For we are his workmanship. I love this verse so much. Because you need to pass this around the next time you start doubting, you know, does anybody care about me? You know, am I the ugliest person on the planet? Those sorts, no one thinks like this. No. Yeah, because whatever. Okay, for we are his workmanship. That means his like his masterpiece, man, his work of art. You know, you are something awesome. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Okay, so I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new creation. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works. For good works, isn't that cool? He is good. He makes good stuff. He made you a new creation in Christ so you can be about his business, so you can be about doing good. Okay. Well, it's pretty good. It's pretty cool to me. Okay. What maybe this will help, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that blows my mind, you know what I mean? Because I'm one of those guys, man, I do like to think ahead, you know, but I don't think like millions of years ahead, you know what I mean? I mean, I know where my salvation is. I know where I'm going to be a million years from today. You know what I mean? But God, you know, before the foundation of the earth and all this stuff, he's like, Elisa, I'm going to have her born at this time. And I'm going to let her go through these things to form her into this godly little servant I need her to be. Because I'm a good God. And I'm going to use her. I'm going to use her to do good things because she's my child and I'm good. I'm going to use her to do good things to encourage people and to build up the body of Christ. Amen? He was thinking about us, man, before no one ever thought about you. Okay, I'm going to break the window with this. That's the thing about Rachel Jean. She always laughs at my stupid stuff. It's good to have a good wife. Okay. Amen, Brother Robert. Okay, let's go to the next slide. He don't make junk. Everything he makes is good. Now, this is what's really, really cool, and I just wanted to throw this in here, you know, that how long did it take him to make the moon and the stars, the heaven? It took him just a... You're right, but everything took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun. It took him 6 days to make all this that we see before us, all the stuff that the Hubble telescope can't quite see. Everything took him 6 days. And it was good. It was very good, you know. But you know what blows my mind? Is that he's still working on our place where we're going to spend eternity. You know what I mean? No one's going to be like mad. No one's going to be like, this is it? You know? So you know what I mean? No one's going to be like, so I guess I'll put my stuff on this bunk. Are you taking, oh, did you get by a bus or something? Yeah, I'm going to put my, okay, no, I want the bottom bunk. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be like super, super rad. You know what I mean? And all God's people, it's going to be super rad. Yeah, it is. It's going to be great. And he's still working on it. If it took him 6 days to make this stuff, you know what I'm talking about? Thousands of years he's been doing this. Okay, you got scriptures. I do. You know, I wouldn't say it if I didn't have a way to back it up. Okay, John 14:2. It's on the next. It's right there. In my Father's house are many rooms. And then we get messed up on them little details like that. It's like, in the Father's house? I don't want to live in a house with everybody in the whole wide world, man. You know? It's like, no, man, it's going to be really, really cool. Really cool. Awesome. It's not bad. I'm telling you. If you don't like it, look me up. You know, whatever. You're going to dig it. And all God's people said, you'll dig it. You will. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that? God said, Jesus, I ain't lying to you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's working on it, man. Right now. That's cool. I don't know. I like it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:9. That as is... 1, 2, 3. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. I like that part. Josh, we can't even begin to... Hollywood can't touch it, man, with the best minds and the best computers and the best smart people, things, and tools and equipment. You know what I mean? No, man. It's probably not going to be like the movies were in the 70s or 80s where there was like a little bit of smoke on the ground, a little bit of clouds on the ground, and they were walking around. You know what I mean? And some people had wings on them, and St. Peter was like, hey, what are you doing? You know, I got to answer a question here. You know, before... It ain't going to be like that. You know, it's not going to be like that. Either you're in the book or you're not. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like, okay, Richard, Rick. Do you go by Rick? Do you go by Rich? Okay. So tell me about third grade and the cigarettes, Rick. No, it's not going to be like that. It's not. Either you're in or you're not. You know what I mean? You got to make that choice now. But he's a good God, right? I'm off track, but he's good. It's going to be awesome. That's what I'm trying to say. What no eye has seen, what no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. So think of the best thing that you've ever pictured about heaven, and then realize it's nothing like that. Nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Think about that, man. Is he not good? He says, it's going to get tough down here sometimes. You know what I mean? But I'm going to be right here with you. We're going to get through it. It's part of the deal. I'm making you mature. We're growing up. Okay, I'm going to use you. But when it's lights out, you know what I mean? You ain't never going to see nothing like this. You know what I mean? God is good. All the time. Yeah, we're going to start doing that. Okay. Everything God gives you is good. James 1:17. I had a guy tell me, he's like, you're not a preacher. You're not a teacher. You're a lecturer. I don't know if he's wrong. I don't know. But the more I do this, the more I'm like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just do what I do. I don't know. Okay. I would have said, well, then you do it, but then he would have done it. And you're lucky I didn't say that. No, never mind. We'll talk later. Remind me later. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every good thing you've ever had or ever will get is a gift from God. The really good stuff. The good stuff, man. The honest, the pure. The Rachel Jeans of your life. The little kids, your children, your babies, your mom. I know, I got in trouble, and I'm trying to work out of it. No, but all the good stuff, man, that's from him. You know what I mean? That's from the Lord. Y'all with me? Coming down from the Father of lights. What does that mean? Everyone say, what does that mean? I just told you he made the heavens and the stars and all that. Was no one listening? Okay, he's the father of those things, okay? You with me? So if he can make those, and those are just for our enjoyment, I mean, I'm sure there's another reason, you know, whatever, they're there for science and they spin around or something. But those are awesome things that we get to look at, man. You know what I mean? Okay, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now, that's kind of crazy, but I'm going to try and explain that to you. It's not easy for you to understand. It's hard for me to explain. Okay. God creates the moon, the stars, the sun, all that stuff. Okay. Back in the old day, say if you were to go on a trip, you know, and you'd be like, well, I know grandma's house is underneath that star over there, so I'm going to walk in that direction. Okay. Well, then, you know, time passes, and then you go, I'm going to go to grandma's house again. Well, keep in mind, stars don't always stay in the same place. You know, right? Everything, or we don't stay in it. I don't know. Everything's moving around, all that jazz. So it gets confusing sometimes, you know, until you figure out the whole thing works. You know what I mean? You're like, I thought I was going to grandma's house, but now I'm in Bruton, you know? The star did me wrong. So James is saying, look, God's got good stuff for you. Every good thing you got is from him, and it's going to be right there on time, and it's going to be just what you need. Amen. All right, next slide. How are we doing on time? Is everyone, y'all all right? Then we'll end here. We'll just go ahead and wrap it up for you. All right. Okay, my bad. Whew, tough crowd today. Okay. So sometimes we get, I better read this before I... Oh, yeah, this is true. Sometimes we define the Lord's goodness by how happy he makes us. You know what I mean? You know, God, I need this. I need this. Then I'm going to be happy. I need this. Then I'm going to be happy. Or God, I need this now. And then you're going to be good. You know what I mean? But right now, I don't know. You know, I know what the Bible says, but I think you're just good to Brother Donnie. You know, I think you're just good to Sister Dana. You know, and we wouldn't say that, but sometimes we look around and we're like, man, what the heck's going on here? You know what I mean? I could use a little bit of that my way, Jesus. You know, don't hide it, divide it. You know what I'm saying? We get like that. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Who knows? Okay. No one's mad. I'm not mad. I'm just. Whew. Okay. But see, sometimes God holds back what we want because it ain't good for us. You know what I mean? Or sometimes it ain't what we need now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want instant gratification. Jesus, God, I need this now. I need this now. And he'd be like, no, you don't need this now. This is not going to help your relationship with me now. Maybe later on down the road, okay? And then we get all mad and we're like, well, God, you're not good. You're not good to me. You're good to everybody else. I live in America. Everything should go my way right away. You know what I mean? But it doesn't work that way. We don't define God's goodness. He is good. You know what I mean? 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay, so the Apostle Paul, you know, still, he had the thing. He had the thorn, and he prayed a lot. God, take this away from me. I could serve you better if you take this away from me. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like. God, if you remove this, man, me and you would have a really good thing going, man. You know, I promise you, you know. And he's like, no, my grace is enough, man. I'm not taking that away because that's not going to be beneficial to my relationship with you or your maturity. You know what I mean? So God's still good, super good, right? No matter if he gives you what you want, when you want it or not. Amen? Okay, I'll give you an example. And then we'll go home. If y'all want to. If not, we can talk more. But my boy Sam, Rachel, how old is he going to be in February? 7. Okay, he's older than I thought. Okay. He's getting so big. He eats like a horse. Anyways, he comes to me the other day, and I've had a knife collection for a long time. I used to work in the circus with the throwing knives, and I was really good at that. Dustin, is it that hard to believe that I... Brother Rick, put the apple on top of his head. Put the apple on top of his head. Okay. That's a fabrication. That's me embellished. That's me telling a story. I'm not lying. I don't know. If I did something wrong, Jesus, forgive me. Okay. But anyways, and I mean that. He wants a knife, man. He wants a knife. Sam wants a knife for his next birthday. And it's not a knife. It's not like a little pocket knife, which that wouldn't be that much difference, okay, because he's only going to be 7, all right? But he wants a big knife, like a Bowie knife. You know what a Bowie knife is? All right, it was made by Jim Bowie, right? Big old huge bone handle thing. Davy Crockett, when he met Jim Bowie at the Alamo, did you know this? Have you heard this? He said, you know, you could, when Davy Crockett's holding the Bowie knife, and he's like, you could tickle a man's ribs for a long time with this old boy. Just a big, before he'd ever laugh, that's what he said. A big old huge knife. And so I kind of have an imitation. It's not a Bowie knife, but it's a big knife. And so Sam saw it one day and was like, I want this for my birthday. Like, okay, he's very slowly, just put that down. It's like, I'm just going to grab that from you right there. You know, and we're not going to let Mama know about this, right? Some things Mama can't know about. Okay. So anyway. All right. Everything's fine. So this is it. Yeah. This is what he wants, one of these. Okay, first of all, who's been talking about Sister Claudia? No, I told you I used to be really good at these. Now, I'm going to put it down, see? I'm putting it down. No, but see, well, look. See how crazy this is for a 7-year-old? You know, look what my dad gave me. You know? We haven't seen any cats in the neighborhood for so long. But, you know, that makes no sense. And you love them. You want to give them good stuff, right? You want to be gracious. You want to be merciful. You want to be long-suffering. You want them to love you. You want them to have good memories of you and all this stuff. But no way, shape, or form is it a good idea to give that boy that knife. You know what I mean? So that's what we got going on here. God is still good if he withholds what you want, if it's not right for you. Y'all get it? Okay, which one of you kids want to hold the knife? Come on. All right. God is good, huh? All the time. Woo, dog. Okay, so there you go. There were some things I needed to talk to you guys about. Dustin's moving Monday, not far away. So he might need some help. So if you're free Monday evening, you want to talk to him, maybe he might could use a hand. Let's pray about it, Dustin. God uses people. God uses his people to bless other people. And it'll be a service to the Lord if you can squeeze it in the evening. I'm going to try my bestest to make it. Also, be praying for Sister Rachel's family. They're going through a lot. This woman that recently graduated is very, very important to Rachel and that family. There's just a lot going on in that situation, so keep praying. Brother Robert, you feeling better this week? I pray for you, man. Amen. Oh, that's the other thing. Thanks. Dwayne, you know, he had the surgery. We were bringing him food and all that. He wants me to tell you guys thank you so much, and he hopes to be here next week if he gets